seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the prophecy of Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8. The book of Micah, chapter 6 and the 8th verse. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. These words were spoken by the Lord to Balak, who was king of Moab, and they are clear words of divine instruction. And not only are they vital to him, but they are vital to every one of the Lord's dear children. The word seemed to drop in with a sweet measure of power early yesterday morning in thinking of the services today. And you think how the word begins. It's a very beautiful word, really. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. This, first of all, applies to every one of the Lord's dear redeemed children, or those that have gone before, those that are in this present day, and it applies to those that are not yet born, that are in the womb of the covenant. The Lord will show them what is good. And what an unspeakable mercy it is if the Lord has shown us that which is good. There are two things really the Lord will show to his dear people. First of all, he will show them what wretched sinners they are, what vile sinners they are before a holy God, as he showed us our sin, like he did the publican. The Lord wonderfully declares that case of the two men that went up to the temple to pray. The dear publican, he showed him what he was before a holy God, as a poor, wretched, vile sinner. And that's what enabled him to pray like he did. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, we should never really be able to pray that prayer unless the Lord shows us our sin personally. It's a good prayer, you know, of the hymn writer when he said, convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' precious blood, and to our wandering minds reveal the secret love of God. You see, with the Pharisee, he was never shown what he was as a poor, needy sinner before a holy God. You know, many of you may be troubled, am I really born again? It's like a dear man many years ago, a poor illiterate man. The Lord so showed him his sin and showed him his mercy and so blessed him that he ventured to cast in his lot with the Church of God. And he said, as he came to the church, he said, you know, I can't profess to have great things. But he said, there are two things I know. And he said, I haven't learned them from any book or what anybody's told me. He said, I've learned them from heaven. And he said, the first is this. Oh, what a poor, wretched sinner I am. And he said, the second is, what a precious, holy, lovely Saviour I have, who has washed me from all sin. You see, the Lord showed him his need, and he showed him the blessed remedy of that need, and it's all found in the Lord Jesus. You see, the simplicity of his experience was so real. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. Now those, the Lord, and that's why I begin like this morning, those he shows what sinners they are, he reveals it to them personally. They know what their own heart is. They know the sin there is within that no man sees, but the Lord sees it. And out of that great need, they have to cry for mercy. And he shows them the blessed suitability there is in the Lord Jesus suited to their case. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, what is good. You see, there's no good in the creature. There's no good in man naturally. They may have good things in them, which are be to admire naturally. But oh, we want that which is good. We think, and I want to look at it in a few ways as we may be helped. What is good? What is good? And I would begin by asking each of us that question. What is good to you and what is good to me? The world have things that are good, don't they? They may have a good living, they may have a good home, they may have a good business, they may have a good family. Wonderful mercy that is, isn't it? To be admired. But all those things are just temporal. They're not eternal. And what is set forth in our text, what is good, are those things that are eternal, that are lasting. You see, the time's going to come where time will be no more, where all the things of the earth will be dissolved. They're all perishing. You look at some of the great buildings and the wonderful architecture there is in London. But you look through age, they're declining, deteriorating, because they're temporal, you see. We often visit some of the National Trust houses up and down the land when I'm away preaching, and you know, the cost of keeping the upkeep of them is tremendous. They're, because they're perishing, you see. They're good to look at. But you see, things of time deteriorate, don't they? We as poor sinners of the earth are coming down with age and infirmity, and the day will come when life will cease and be no more. But oh, what about those things that are good, that are eternal? Thinking upon this word, I thought of God the Abijah of old. What does it say in the word of God concerning him? There was some good thing found in him toward the Lord God of Israel. Oh, you think even in a little child, you know, there can be a good thing in them toward the Lord God of Israel. Even in a little babe, you know, many of the dear babes that are taken in baby days in early life are freed from this veil of tears, and many are taken into glory. The Lord knows them that are His, you see. But those dear babes need that which is good, and only the Lord can give it to them. A good hope beyond the grave. A good Redeemer that came into this earth to suffer, to bleed, to die for them. Just as the saint of 100 years of age, he hath showed thee. And you know, it's a very humbling work when the Lord shows us the suitability, the preciousness, the loveliness there is in the Lord Jesus, so suited to sinners' case. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. You see, there's a difference, and may I press the point home, between the Lord's children and the world. There must be a difference. We live in a solemn day when so many think, well, outward appearance doesn't matter. And they dress in the house of God just like the world. But you know, if we're going up to worship the Lord God of heaven, our apparel should be according to if we were going to see the Queen of England. We wouldn't just go anyhow, would we, to see her? Or, you see, there's a difference between, and you can find it concerning the Lord's dear people and the of old, between those Israelites and those in Egypt. What did the Lord say when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, they were separate people. He'd separated them from all the pleasures of Egypt. Oh, he had. And he'd put in them good desires. And he puts in each one of his dear children a good desire. A desire to be washed from all the sin there is within. It's a good desire. Found in them, there's not that desire in the world. So shall we be separated, the Lord said, concerning the children of Israel. And Moses said it to them, I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. They're a separate people. The Lord separates them. He did Saul of Tarsus. He separated him from all natural religion. He separated him from all just Pharisaic spirit. He separated him from all the things of the world. He put in him something that was good. And that something was this. A desire for the Lord. A longing to be right for time and for eternity. A great concern that he might stand well in the swellings of Jordan. He has showed thee. Oh, as the Lord showed us that which is good. Or are we just left to drift on in unregeneracy and drift on in natural religion and drift on in the way that leads to perdition? the broad way that leads to destruction. These souls that have in them something that is good, some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. You know that some good thing was found in dear Job. What was it? The root of the matter was found in Job. God had begun that root in him. And that root was to root downwards into a precious Christ. He couldn't root into the world because it was perishing. There was no substance in it. The root of Job's religion was in the Lord. There was in him something that was good, and that something that was good was seen, even by his friends. In him was the grace of God, you see. Oh, what a good thing that is, isn't it? The grace of God in us. His grace. And what does it mean in its simplicity? Well, it means God's free, unmerited favour to sinners. We've done nothing to merit it. It's the gift of God. He says, I give unto them eternal life. What a gift. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What is good? Now, has he shown us? This is the vital question. It seemed to search me when it came. I felt, what a beautiful word he has shown thee. And oh, I hope I could look back in some little measure. I don't profess great things, but there's something good in us. I know I'm not like I used to be. In our unregenerate days, all we wanted was the world, its pleasures, its television, its all the things of time. But oh, he puts in us good desires, like he did in Lydia. You remember how the Lord opened her heart, that she might attend unto those things that were spoken by Paul. And that open heart, you know, had some good desires toward the Lord, longings for him, for his truth. I want to look at what is good to the sinner. What is good to you? I don't mean just naturally. There are many things that are good to us, which we would praise the Lord for. The wonders of creation. How good they are. Because they are made by God. The perfection there is in the beautiful flowers of the earth. You look at a little leaf that falls from a tree in all its beauty and colour at this time of year. You look at every particle, every vein in it was made by the Lord. It's good. But you see, what is set before us here is far more than natural goodness. Well, what is good to you? And really we can measure our religion by it. Is the word of God good to your soul? I don't mean just the print on the page. I mean when the Holy Spirit, as you read it, you read the word of God and it's good because it comes from a good God. And it's good to your soul, you see. It meets your very case. Well, let me use an illustration. You think when you're in trouble, there are many of the Lord's dear people today in the depths of trouble. And what does the hymn writer say? And how good our hymns are, aren't they? How many times have you sung the hymn or read it maybe at home, and it's been so good to you. Because the Lord has made it precious to your soul. And what does the hymn writer say? When trouble, like a gloomy cloud, has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood, his loving kindness Oh, how good. And oh, you think how good the Word of God is when you're in trouble. I, as I quoted in prayer, it's a beautiful word to me. I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, they're some good words. And why are they good? Because they come from a good God. And they're good to you because the Holy Spirit so applies them to you, suits them to your very case. They're the one thing that's needful. Just what you need, because they're full of Christ. What is good? And then, how good it is, isn't it, when the Lord uses the ministry to his dear people. This is what so exercises me, and the Lord gives me a text to bring it before the dear people of God, to come right where they are with the word. May it not just be preached over the heads of the Lord's people, but to come where they are. If you're in trouble, you will need a word that comes to you in that trouble, won't you? And that's when it'll do you good. And when is it there are good prayers? I know what you'll say. Well, I don't feel my prayers worth naming, or I don't feel my prayers so often pierce the roof. But, poor soul, it's a good thing to be in prayer. Jesus said, and it's a lesson really to us each, there are times where you'll feel you cannot pray. There are times where you feel you can't even utter a word or put two words together. But what did Jesus say? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And you know, he didn't leave that word on record just as a mere word. It was left on record for the teaching and exhortation of the Lord's people. They ought always to pray and not to faint. And you see, the Lord will bring you into things where all you can do is plead with him. And it's a good place to be brought. You know, really, when you look in the case of dear old Jacob and the depths he came into of trouble when he was faced with Esau with 400 men against him, you look at the real prayer the Lord gave him. Wrestling prayer within him. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. It was a good prayer, and it's a prayer that's never been worn out, and it won't be to the end of time. And it'll be the good desire of your poor heart and mine if we fear the Lord. Oh, it will. But what I was going to say was, you think of him too when they came to take away Benjamin from him, and what did he say? And all these things are against me. But you know, he had to come into those places. I know we don't like coming into trouble. And we shouldn't ever ask for trouble. Dear Mr. Mulvey said once, he said, friends, he said, we should never ask for trouble. Some people, you think, well, if they pray for trouble, the Lord will bless them in it. The dear man said, you have enough trouble without praying for it. And when the Lord brings you, like he did Jacob, into trouble, he'll cause this prayer to go out, and it'll be a good prayer. It may not be any words at all, but the inward longing of your soul will be for the Lord's appearing. And you'll look back on it when the Lord is pleased to appear for you. You'll look back and you'll say, Lord, it was good for us to be here. Oh, yeah. Even in the depths, because in it that you saw the wonders God alone can do. And Jacob did, didn't he? He did when he was faced with Esau, with those 400 men. He saw the wonders God alone could do when they came to take away Benjamin. And you look how the Lord unfolded. It was all for his good. That directs me to that beautiful word, what Paul wrote to the Romans. And how good it's been to many of the Lord's dear children. And we know, he didn't say, well, I think it's so, or perhaps it's so. He said, and we know. There's a wonderful certainty there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. You see, in the hand of the Lord, they will work together for good. You may not be able to see however any good can come out of it. It looks all dark and black and impossible. But it will work together. And dear old Jacob proved it, didn't he? The wonders God alone can do. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. You see, the Lord shows his dear people. He reveals it to them what is good. And you look at the depths that Nebuchadnezzar had to come into. That's why one reason we read the chapter together this morning. To be brought to acknowledge the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It was all for good. I love the couplet of the hymn. Though painful at present, think of it. 'Twill end before long, and then, oh, how sweet the conqueror's song. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. What else will he show you? Not only your sin and wretchedness, he hath showed you the need of his precious blood and how good that precious blood is. Why is it so good to sinners? Well, it washes them and it cleanses them from all sin. Oh, it does. Not the shadow of spot will be left in the soul of the child of God when that precious blood is applied. Not even the shadow of a spot. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Really, you see. Sin leaves not only its mark, but it leaves the stain. But what is so precious and good to the child of God about the precious blood of Jesus, and I speak it with much reverence, it cleanses from all sin, even the shadows and the spots are removed. Oh yeah, and the stain. It's all gone. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Ye are clean through the word. And that word is Christ. And through his shedding of his precious blood, sinners are made clean. It won't matter how black they are, how vile they are. They're made clean by the precious blood of Jesus. And how good that precious blood is, isn't it? One feels the older I get, the more we need that precious blood every day. And there's a sweet goodness in it, you see, because it removes all guilt, all sin. And it sets sinners free and at liberty. Oh, it does. The way to liberty is found, the dear hymn writer said, the Son, that is Christ, shall make you free. Make you free. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. Those blessings of heaven. You think how good the desire of dear Jabez was of old. And is it your prayer? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. It's a good desire. And how good it is when the Lord fulfills it. He did with Jabez. It's all those names in that chapter, those two precious verses, stand out as apples of gold in pitchers of silver. The longing and prayer of dear Jabez's heart. And what do we read? The Lord gave him his request. How he enlarged his coast and removed all his sin. How good that desire is. That longing is, that prayer is, that was in Jabez's heart. And who had put it there? The Lord had. The same with Solomon. When the Lord said to him, ask what I shall give thee. He could have asked for riches and wealth and honour and so on, couldn't he? But no. He asked for wisdom and understanding. And the Lord gave him that and he gave him everything else, didn't he? What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then listen. And all these things shall be added unto you. You see, seek that which is good first of all. And the Lord will give you everything else then. The blessings that are bestowed upon the Lord's dear people. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What is good. There's a difference in the Lord's people than the world. You see, he shows them. If they'd never been shown, you and I, if we'd never been shown what is good, we'd have been wallowing and in the stench of sin to die and serve in Satan, wouldn't we? If he hadn't shown us what is good. Oh, when this word came, it really humbled me. I said, Lord, why me? Why hast thou shown me that which is good? Just as he did the Apostle Paul, you see, he showed him the emptiness of natural religion. And all that he knew in his head. And he showed him the difference between that which was of the Spirit and that which God had wrought in his heart. And he looked in his heart at what the Lord had done and it was good. Oh, it was. You go back to creation when the Lord formed the universe and then put man on it. And what do we continually read? And God saw that it was good. And why is it so good in what the Lord does? It's because it's pure. What we do, even the best things we do, the sin mixed with it, because we are poor creatures of the earth. Sin is mixed with all we do, with all we think or say. But what the Lord does is good. And it's good from beginning to end. Because it's pure and it's precious and it's holy. It comes from a good God. I've often said what Mr. Gurney used to say at Ashwell. The Lord is good to all men. You look at the world, how good the Lord is. He sent the sunshine this morning upon the wicked and upon the righteous, hasn't he? They enjoy the sunshine. They enjoy the things of the earth. He's good to all men. But then he went further. And he said he's all good to some. Now look in your heart, is the Lord all good to you? And all he does for you is good. And you can bless him for it. The psalmist knew it, didn't he, when he said, oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He could bless the Lord that he had given him such was good, and the Lord was all good to him. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. I must hasten. He has showed thee. So there's this difference, you see. He hath showed thee personally. May this be so with each of us. Oh man, what is good? And then we read something very searching. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Think of it. He's shown thee that which is good. He's made thee to differ from the world. Who hath made thee to differ from another? But what about how you're going to live? How you're going to walk? And what doth the Lord require of thee? Well, he lists some very beautiful things, doesn't he? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And you see, these are fruits that will flow from the grace of God, which is so good that he puts in the sinner's heart. Under grace, the Lord enabled the dear Apostle Paul, he enabled David, he will enable each one of his dear children to walk in these things. Firstly, to do justly. The Lord requires them. It's not, well, perhaps we will do this, he requires it. This is what seems so searching to me. What doth the Lord require of thee? And you think from your life, from this very hour, from this moment and mine, what doth he require of thee? Well, what the Lord is doing really, he's setting before us here the pattern that each of us should live from this hour. I come right home close and I preach it to myself. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. These are the three things that were required of the king and are required of the Lord by speaking this word to his people. What he requires. If you want to open a bank account or go to a solicitor's, they require the passport, they require this identification, something else. It's required. And you cannot get it without it. But think about it in a far greater way, with eternity before us each. What doth the Lord require of thee? He doesn't say, well, you can go on living in sin, you can go on walking with the world. He doesn't say, well, you can go on in an unregenerate state. No. He sets the vital things before the child of God. And one examines one's own heart and how short we come in it. But to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God, but to do justly. But I haven't time to go into it, the time's gone, but to do justly. What does that really mean? What did it mean for the king? He got to be just in his dealings with the poor, with the weak, with the rich, with all the inhabitants of the land. He got to deal justly, even-handedly with them. Well, put it very simply in one word, this to do justly means this, to walk rightly before the God of heaven. How do we walk? Do we deal justly, even-handedly with all men? Or do we favour this or favour that? I know, really, we tend to favour the Lord's dear people, lean toward them because they are the people that we love and we are drawn to. But really, even dealing with the world, it is right we do justly. Oh, it is. And even with the ungodly, because who hath made us to differ? I often think that, you know, I think when I hear the name of the Lord taken in vain and the language of Psalm is terrible. But I often think of this, you know, if I was left like they are, I'd be just the same. And so would you. What a mercy it is the Lord does work in his dear children, his grace, his fear. He draws them out of the self and draws them out of the world to serve him and to seek him. He hath showed thee. And if he showed you, poor soul, what is good, then these things will follow. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Well, I must leave it. May the Holy Spirit apply the text to us each. Amen.